You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, the scripture reading is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sophonies, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints with all that in every place, called upon the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from our God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are all are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testament of Christ that was confirmed in you, for that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you under that day end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, ask your reading on the blessing of your holy word, for it's in Christ we pray, in name we ask it. Amen.
Well, let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we are thankful once again, Lord, for this great day to meet together. Cold outside, yet warm in this building, as we think, Lord, of the finished work of Christ, the coming into this world of the Savior, and Lord, all that's been accomplished through that. We pray for those that are unwell. We think of Derek and Leland, Lord, that your Spirit would work in their lives and give them comfort and health as it is due in thy will. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I thought, maybe since Sunday is December 25, I didn't know whether we're going to have a service or not, but I assumed we would. So I'd give an appropriate service, perhaps, and message concerning Christmas then. In the meantime, I thought I'd give this one-off topic, which I've entitled The Same Thing, Same Mind, Same Judgment. The last two appeared together, same mind, same judgment, as we'll see. But it really impressed me as I thought about the United States and its unique form of government. And if you look around the world, how many times various governments are overthrown and dictators are put in and changes of government, not just a new group of people coming into an existing form of government, but a completely new form of government comes into being because of all sorts of turmoil within the people, and how unique the United States is with the Republican form of government that was put in place by the founders, and how that they managed to stand together, this, and they would speak the same thing. And they would have the same mind, and they would be in the same judgment, and how important it was that that would be the case. In many ways, they were a small group. It wasn't such a great group of, when I say great, I mean in numbers of people. If you look at the percentage of people who stood by the stuff and fought against the British, actually it was quite a small percentage who did that. But they were determined. They knew what had to be done. And thankfully to them, we owe the freedoms that came about. And so it is in faithfulness too amongst us here. We have been given and delivered this great message. I was very thankful for, that little showcase of Dr. McLean, the back there, with got his glasses and the Bible open and well-used Bible. Which is a great testimony to his study habits and his faithfulness to the ministry. And we have been delivered this, and we must fight for it. We must fight to ensure that this message goes on, because it is a great, great message that we have, a unique message, a calling that is so important, not only specifically to us here as a local church, but the calling which is ours in this particular age to make it known, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, Ephesians 3:9. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And when you come to the Bible, It's very commonly done this way, that you take a passage of Scripture and then you close the Bible, effectively. I mean, it might not be literally closed, but effectively it's closed. You take one verse and then you produce this homily. Beautiful flowing words. Beautiful flowing words. You know, when you think about people often who have truth, they're not necessarily really smooth. You know, Paul says that he was rude in speech, but not in knowledge. And there's a difference, right? We may not be overly smooth as this world wants us, but one thing we've got on our side, and that is the Scripture rightly divided, the logic of the Scripture, and that's a strong thing. Seppi and I, we come from a mathematical background. That's what we appreciate. We see logic. We appreciate logic. It's beautiful. It's something beautiful to see that. And when we don't see it, I don't care how smooth the words are. No, sorry, can't have that. It's not pretty. You know, it's not beautiful. Now, people will be swayed by these words. I know that happens. I know how it works. Man, have you seen this going on in this country recently with the so-called media calling the other media fake news when they are the fake news? It's, you know, fake calling someone else fake. And we got this going on all the time. Smoothness of words, but where are the facts? Well, the facts are pretty stubborn things, aren't they? They're very, very stubborn. And we want to see facts. So, coming back to the Scriptures. When we look at the Scriptures, and I want to start a series up, and this won't be the beginning of it, but it will point the way towards it. I want to start a series of messages on not the ABCs of right division, but what would continue on after that, the more advanced lessons of right division. I want to get into that. I want to have a series of messages which are much more advanced on right division. And we'll dig into some deeper issues to do with this. But one of the things that I have always appreciated about right division is the logic that it brings. And that, in first place, we do not want to have a homily of an application. Applications are good. Applications are right. They are good and they have their correct place. But first of all, we want to understand what the Scripture is actually saying within its context. What is it saying? Now, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, you'll notice the first word is Paul. That's very distinctive to me. Because if you go through most of Paul's epistles, you're going to find the first word is Paul. Paulos. That's kind of unusual, don't you think? That is kind of like a very unusual thing that you find this. You can go through other books of the Bible written by various authors, but you don't find their names at the first. Paulos. Interesting. Paulos. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Well, here he is. He's one of these apostles, yes, but he is called. He's called. There is a calling, my friends, for us also. Now, Paul has a unique place as an apostle. He's been given a special ministry. But we also have a very special calling, which Paul himself gives to us later on. We'll look at this. As we go through, it says, verse 2, under the church of God, which is at Corinth. Okay, here is a church of God which has a locality. There are different churches in the Bible. There's the church which is in the wilderness. There is a local church. There is the church of whom Christ is head. Did you know that? Yes! There is a church of whom Christ is the head. And that's the church we want to make sure we're a member of. And he goes on and he says, to them that are sanctified, separated, in Christ Jesus, called, here's the word again, called to be saints. With all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very commonly said by Paul, where he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace. Wow! From God. Here it is. Grace and peace. No, we don't serve this God that is just continually angry with everybody and wants to put everybody under some thumb. Grace and peace. And this is one of the great attributes of the Christian. Grace and peace. And wherever true Christianity flourishes, you'll find grace and peace. Well, where do you want to live? Do you want to live under a society which is just continually fighting? And man, you've got to look over your shoulder and you know, have these sort of wingnut things at the side here where you've got mirrors so you can look around the back here, you know. Is that the kind of society and country you want to live under? What you really want is you want the principles of biblical Christianity to go down and flourish amongst us so that we can flourish, so we can enjoy our lives and be productive for God. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Wow. Yeah, you can believe in God, but Jesus says, believe also in me. Yeah, that's the distinctive, right? There are a lot of people that want to say they believe in God. God. Great. Well, that's nice. That's a good thing. But you know, there's lots of different ideas and theology and traditions that can be put on God. But if God takes on flesh and becomes man, we can understand what God is like in a way that no one else could possibly. What, you think you can understand God? God. Always was there, uncreated. Yeah, I can say the words. But as a person locked in time, in this body of flesh, no, I'm sorry. I don't understand the depth of that. I cannot comprehend that. But if God takes on flesh, and then we see the actions of God in the flesh, in the person of Christ, I can understand that. I can understand that and therefore understand God through that in a way no one else could possibly. You know what I mean? It's a very different thing. And so it says, grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him. And that's where our riches truly are. In all utterance and in all knowledge. Now notice it's coming now to this idea of utterance. We're coming into the central part of what I'm trying to get at here. Utterance, knowledge. The enrichment that occurs is exhibited in all utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, we do not deny the richness of how Christ was made manifest amongst the Corinthians and during the time that this was going on. That is the Acts period. So we, you know, one of the things that we understand about the Bible is that there certainly was a timeline of events that went on. We're not going to deny time. After all, we want to know when things happened. If someone's going to criticize Thomas Jefferson and say, well, Thomas Jefferson believed this or didn't believe that, well, it might be a good idea to see in what time period he said these things, and because people can actually change their mind on things, right? People can grow and change. Similarly here with the Bible, when things are written, don't we want to know when they were written, in what context they were written? So here we're going to demark some time events here, the cross of Christ, where Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross at Calvary. You know, there's a very interesting article. I know this is a very common thing, isn't it? The three crosses. I know that's common. Do you know that that's very likely incorrect? Very likely to be incorrect.
that in fact there were more likely five crosses. I should do a little study on this and bring this out. Bullinger has an appendix on this in his companion Bible. But here I want to address this idea of time, and that of course we can put here the coming of the Holy Spirit in its fullness, where he comes and remains. And then over here, Acts chapter 9, because this is where on the road to Damascus we find that Paul is saved, and he then is commissioned thereafter. So what you find here is that Paul has a particular ministry, and he writes various epistles, of which 1 Corinthians is one of them. So 1 Corinthians here, as we are reading, finds its place in the book of Acts, and we'll see good evidence that that is the case very shortly. So what we don't want to do is we don't want to take this book out of its immediate context. We don't want to say, well, okay, these things are all the Word of God, so I'm going to take a verse out of this and I'm going to make an application and a homily, and that's it. There's no more to be said. I believe that is a wrong place to start with the Scriptures. Yes, as you can see, I'm giving some application, but that's not the thing we must see first. We must see, first of all, its contextual meaning, and we're coming to that right now.
Look what it says. In verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. There was this British program came out about some space exploration, and there was this robotic computer type thing that was controlling the ship, and you would just talk to the computer, and the computer would take the orders, and it would always say, confirmed, confirmed. Well, here it is. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed, made firm in you. Now here it comes, look at it. So that you come behind in no gift. So that. Wait a minute, let's go back. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. It was confirmed
so that you come behind in no gift. So what we can see here, man, is this confirmation was in order that signs would be produced. There would be signs here. Gifts, miracles, wonders going on here.
There's no doubt that that's the case. And it says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, well, here it goes. Now we've got things that relate to the calling. So these are contextual things. These relate to things to do with what are they waiting for? What are they hoping on? What things are being manifested in their midst? Now, a lot of people, what they want to do, people who come to understand something about Paul, is that soon as they come to Paul's writings, they want to say, well, they're all stuck together. We must keep them all together. And we're not going to separate off the book of Ephesians from 1 Corinthians. It's all the same. That, my friends, is one of the biggest errors you can possibly make. That is a massive error. It's an error that I was personally involved with. Because my understanding of the Scriptures was not all at one time. I got saved. And I got saved in a Pentecostal church, basically, although it's mixed up Pentecostal. They weren't sure what they were. They didn't know what they were. They didn't know whether they were Calvinists, whether they were Arminian. They didn't know whether they were pre-tribulational or what they were. Who knows? And I got saved in that sort of situation where, I truly got saved, but then I had to grow somehow. And I wanted to grow. I wanted to understand more of the Scriptures. So a lot of people who come to understand, yeah, there is something distinct to the Paul, what the big mistake they do is they just lock all of his epistles into one group. And that's it. And they make it all try and fit together. But you notice here this calling, waiting on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This confirmation. Let's just go back here. Just go back to Mark 16
and have a look at this passage, which I want you to see something here, which allows us to see, in fact, that the intent here was already given way back in the Gospels. People want to separate off the book of Acts from the Gospels, but it's not going to happen. And in Mark chapter 16, verse number 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. There it is. That's how this is beginning to end, verse 19. In the final verse, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Here it comes. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Confirming the word with signs following. The confirmation of this word was with signs. What do we find right here in 1 Corinthians? What do we have? Well, we have the same confirmation. Confirmed. Right? Going on. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That you all speak the same thing. So here is a message. And what I want you to notice about this message, which was spoken, what it was supposed to be, the same thing, not different things. The same thing. It goes on here. Look what it says. Verse 10. It says, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together. Here comes this perfectly joined together. That word is used for mending nets, joining them together. In the same mind. So perfectly joined together. Same mind and same judgment.
So they're supposed to be same mind, same judgment. Now, what I want you to see about this is the sameness of what Paul is addressing that went on in the book of Acts. It was to be spoken. There was a message given. It was to be preached, spoken, and it was to be the same thing. They were to be joined together, mend together like as in a net with the same mind and have the same judgment, the same knowledge in judgment. Here it is. So, you say, well, what's the significance of that? What isn't it also true that we are in this age should have the same mind? Well, yeah, we should. But, look down here. Let me just get it here. Here it is here. This passage here, Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. There is a sameness that is expected in the age in which we live. The trick is that people who see this sameness want to say, well, he's talking about the same subjects here and here. Because the same words are used. And people make this kind of overall assumption that because he's talking about things of the same here, and he talks about things of the same here, that these two topics are exactly the same. But we can see that the context shows signs here, there is a calling here, the waiting on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, now coming on here, let me just show you what I'm talking about. If you come down to verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul,
I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas. Notice he's very careful to include Cephas. That's Peter. Now, Peter had this special thing to do with the Jews. And I of Christ. Now, look at the next thing. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. What's the point here? The point is that there were to be no divisions. No divisions in the teaching or the preaching or the saying of the things of God. There was to be the same mind. There was to be the same judgment. And he is saying, well, some of you say, I am of Peter and I am of Paul. Is he saying that's a good thing? Yeah, we're different. We have different ministries. Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. No, he's saying that's a bad thing and that's wrong. Am I twisting this? Or can you see this point that's going on here? The point that's going on here is that Paul is saying that these people, including himself and Peter, and this is the major thing, right? Peter and Paul and Mary. Peter and Paul. We all say, yeah, they are different. Yeah, they are different, are they? What's going on here then? In terms of the preaching and teaching, the speaking, the same things, they were the same. They would have the same mind and the same judgment. This ministry here was confirmed with signs and wonders. They had the same calling. What do we find over here? The same confirmation ministry going on, continuing into the book of Acts. Yes. So now we see a continuity rather than a division. We're starting to see a continuity and a confirmation of the same ministry that was started back here and continues into the book of Acts. Okay. Well, let's see what else we can get here. What is the overall point that I'm trying to bring you to?
I'm trying to bring you to this point that there is a huge division between the book of Acts and the prison epistles, but that during the book of Acts, there was a uniformity of message, or should be, right? There certainly should be amongst the Christians a uniformity. Now, it may not in practical terms have happened, but this is what was intended by the apostle. The apostle wanted a uniform message. Do you think it's a good idea for us to come in here and then try and rift people apart in terms of saying, well, I am of Paul, I am of Peter? You think we should actually come back into these Gospels now and into the letters of Paul and try and rip people apart and say, well, you know, there was these factions and that was right. It was right to be a part of Peter. It was right to be a part of Paul. I don't think that's going to fit.
It's not going to work. So coming on down here, look at verse 16. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. Well, Paul was baptizing. Why did he not baptize? Well, he tells you in verse 15, lest any should say that I baptize in mine own name. But it doesn't say here that Paul was somehow super opposed to baptism. He just didn't like the idea of people thinking, oh, well, I got a baptism from Paul, you know, so I'm really the true guy, you know. But you didn't. You got it only from Cephas. See? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What's he saying there? Well, that's putting baptism into its correct place, right? And he's saying, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And coming on down, if you go to verse 26, it says this. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Here is a great calling. And the calling that's being involved here is the waiting on the coming of the Lord Jesus. The same calling that Paul talks about in Romans 15 that relates to the book of Isaiah and the coming millennial kingdom. If you just have a look at a passage with me, let's jump across this border here, right? Let's jump across this border and we'll go into Ephesians.
Let's have a look at this.
This is Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 18. It says this, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Here is a different calling. This is a calling on high, in the heavenly places. It says this in verse 21, "Far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church." And coming on down just to a little further down, look at Ephesians 4 and verse 1. It says this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling, wherewith ye are called." Here it is. This is a new calling, a separate and different calling. Look at verse 4 of the same chapter. "There's one body and one spirit, even you're called in one hope of your calling." So the calling of God is something you need to sort out.
Calling back here is different. It relates to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's confirmed with signs and wonders. Over here, no signs and wonders. Different calling. God doing something different. We must ask ourselves, why? Why is God doing something different? Well, it comes here in Acts 28:28, because here the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles and they will hear it in the context of a divorce. A great divorce occurs here between Israel and God. And this, therefore, is the backdrop of this new calling which is being shown here.
So this is kind of interesting. If you come back here to this passage in chapter 2, it says this in verse number 9. This is chapter 2 of verse 9 of 1 Corinthians. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, even the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God."
Why am I reading this? Because this is a truth. This is certainly a truth. That there are deep things. Even during this time, there were deep things of God we can learn from. But my friends, if you really want to see some super, super deep things, then you need to jump across the border. There were deep and heavy things here. Yes, there certainly were and are. We can learn from them. But if you want to understand the calling and what God is doing today, then you have to jump across the border here. You have to get into this land, the promised land that is promised before the foundation of the world.
Not promised in Moses, not promised in Isaiah, but a new land. We're going to start a new series on right division. And we want to get into the depths. We're going to lay it out. We're going to jump into some deep things. Let us finish with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time we've had together. And Lord, we can certainly get some applications from this. That, Lord, yes, we need to speak the same things. And we must be joined together with the same mind and the same judgment. We understand the applications, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that as we go through the last weeks of this year, that we would be used of thee to bring profit to people. And we look forward to the new year, Lord, when we could be used of thee to magnify thy word above all thy name. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.